back at WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road twice this week for my 31st anniversary in Baltimore Radio. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll be giving away some Raven scratch-off tickets as well. We're having a hootenanny. We're going to be at Fadley's on Friday honoring Dan Rodericks, the great Will Schwartz, who was the one-time producer of my television show with Lawrence Taylor and Buddy Ryan back in the day. That'll be at Fadley's on Friday morning. I think Roz is going to be joining us in the Maryland Lottery as well. Big thanks to our friends at Goodwill as well as Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. 0% financing on Windows, so go get them. And we'll be back next Thursday in Dundalk at Costas celebrating my 31st anniversary. So it's three things really going on. It's a holiday event, 31st anniversary on radio, and Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, the great drummer from the Go-Go's of Dundalk, Gina Schock, doing an extended conversation as well as the Hammerjacks documentary, folks. This guy's been at Costas over the weekend for the Big Crabs. Yes, they have the Big Crabs
indeed.
In December. And he has also been at the Ravens game, but Ohio State didn't get their ass kicked this weekend, did they? I didn't mean to get you off on the wrong foot here, Leonard Rask.
No worry. No, look, hey, we're going to the playoffs.
Playoffs?
Playoffs? Yeah, how about that? They're going to the playoffs.
You get beat Peach that Bowl. Bad and you still get a respite. You get another chance.
Hey, man, 10-1. If you watched the Utes USC, I don't know if you're a fan. That was a great game. I thought that was a great game. And the Utes beat up USC. And at the end of the game, the head coach from the Utes, Mr. I believe Willingham, jumped up on the set of Fox Sports, and Urban Meyer was up there. And I did not know this little tidbit. Urban Meyer hired him as one of his assistant coaches when he was head coach at the Utes back in 2003.
Well, how about that?
So Urban was giving the old hug, hugging them all up and saying how great his win was. And then coach for the Utes said, "You're welcome, Ryan Day," because USC was 4, Ohio State was 5, Alabama was 6. So lo and behold, at the end of the day, Ohio State sneaks in the back door, gets in the playoffs. And what do they get for their trouble? A trip to the Peach Bowl to play #1 Georgia on New Year's Eve at 8:00 at night.
In their backyard. Home game.
A home game for the Bulldogs. That's right. A home game for the quarterback that I believe should win the Heisman Trophy.
Well, you know what? If you, 2 weeks ago, before they got their ass kicked by Michigan,
yes,
you were a believer that they were national championship, you know, caliber.
Caliber. I thought it would be so good to see them play Georgia. I thought it would be good to see them play Georgia in the final. Now they're going to have to play them in the semifinal.
Okay, well,
so we'll see. You either put up or shut up, baby.
Are you
That's
and the boy
it.
Headed to do some peach tree dancing for the new year?
And the wife, we're going to peach out. And the wife, we're going to, nice. Three of us are going to peach out. And we now have changed our plans around, and we will spend New Year's Eve in the Peach State. Be down there in Atlanta. Game's at 8. So with a win, it'll be ringing in 23 in a crazy way. And
wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something?
It would be something. They're 6.5. I think they're 6.5-point underdogs. And if they lose, then we're just in Atlanta for New Year's Eve, which we've never done. And then we'll come home on New Year's Day in the morning and maybe go watch the Ravens play the Steelers that afternoon, you know?
All right, Leonard Raskin is his biggest sports fan, but more than that, his son is in Ohio State. His son's a junior.
That's
he still
why.
Feels like
yes.
He's a rising freshman, but he's almost
it does.
He's
it
closer
does.
To the end than the beginning at this point.
Stunning.
And
stunning.
You know, you think you have a chance for a national championship for the Ravens. You went to the game Sunday and
horrible.
And this
horrible.
Obviously the situation with Lamar, and I watched John Harbaugh's press conference on Monday. He looked almost ashen to some degree. Like he's going to get up there and say maybe this week, maybe next week, it'll be maybe next week, and then it'll be maybe but it starts to feel like this is a couple of games that they're going to have to do something that they couldn't do last year, which is win without him.
Look, we've spoken this whole year before the season, during the season. What did we talk about?
Your primary business, the American dream, and having insurance.
I hope Lamar has his body insured, because every day that guaranteed contract looks worse and worse. And God forbid the knee is real, serious, bad. He's a running quarterback. And this wasn't even on a run. This was on a sack. He wasn't even running. He got hurt trying to be pocket quarterback, and he got plow and he came down on his knee. And I don't know what happened, but the bruise is obviously more than a bruise. So I think they said the x-rays were negative, right?
Yeah, they can say, but, I mean, whatever they say.
But who cares?
The x-rays are negative. On Sunday in Pittsburgh, or he's not, right? Those are the options.
Don't show ligaments, right? X-rays show bones. So he didn't crack a bone in his knee, but that doesn't mean he didn't tear the ACL or something.
PCL is what a few internet doctors had talked about, which could be a couple 2 to 4 weeks. But it's just different when you're a running quarterback and you can't fully run. Watching Russell Wilson run around the other day, who is a little bit of a shadow, maybe just lost a half a step. But if that's your game, if your game is speed and you lose a quarter of a step at that level,
you're normal.
You're caught.
You're normal. And look, Huntley came in, kid did all right, but he woke up thinking he was on the practice squad or something. He didn't wake up thinking he was playing Denver's defense. And I don't know whether our offense looked that bad or Denver's defense looked that good, but they looked really good.
I didn't think Tyler Huntley did a bad job given he woke up Sunday morning. But the issue for this franchise right now is 8-4, not unlike last year. Good start. Great start. 8-4 is a great start. It's not a good start. It's a great. It's the foundation to get you into the playoffs. And at the beginning of the year, we were like, oh, let's start the year against the Giants, the Dolphins, the Jets, the Patriots. They all stink, right? These end of the year, Cleveland's not Cleveland anymore, and their quarterback's going to go to jail, and the Steelers don't have a quarterback, and Mitch Trubisky and all that. And all of a sudden, what we have here is four out of 5 weeks of division football.
Two of these
to begin on the road, the last one on the road in Cincinnati, and all of a sudden
and could be a Sunday night game or something wild if it matters.
The easy schedule has turned into a schedule. Oh, we got to go to Pittsburgh and we don't have our left tackle and we don't have our quarterback, and we got to go to Cleveland and they're going to have their quarterback and it's the weather and blah 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 blah. This doesn't have good mojo right now, especially if you saw Cincinnati play at 4 o'clock on Sunday.
Absolutely. They beat the Chiefs. They look good against the Chiefs. Once more. They're 3-0 against the Chiefs since late last year. How about that?
Joe Burrow looks like a big game quarterback. He looks like a guy who's going to lead them to another Super Bowl.
He's the only quarterback to beat Patrick Mahomes 3 times. Ever. Ever. How about that? He's got him 3-0.
Well, Lamar's had a hard time there. We've had a hard time because we've never really been the better team against the Chiefs.
Right.
And as composed right now, I look at Buffalo, I look at Kansas City, I look at Cincinnati and saying, how are you going to beat two or three of those teams in January as they are right now?
The
current composition.
And what happened with Patrick Queen?
Well, that was it. That's a bone bruise. That was when Matt
landed
on him.
Right, yes. And they're calling it a bone bruise?
They're calling that a bone bruise and that he will be able to play at some point.
And what about Hamilton?
He's in and out.
I think the kid's a stud, but with him out, they weren't good when he was out the last time. That hurt.
Well, I think they start taking pieces away from the secondary, pieces away from the pass rush. That's concerning. The biggest concerning thing I have is how they're going to manufacture points. They weren't great with Lamar in there prior to last week. The left tackle situation, obviously this kid Falele, that's not a winning scenario.
It's a bad
experiment. Right now.
It's a must do. It's a must do, but not a great experiment. So it's going to be tough. And we got to hope Lamar is sooner rather than later. Although I'll tell you, Huntley's not bad. He plays a good second Lamar. He's got some good legs. He looks like he has a decent arm. He looked good last year for what he needed to do, but they have to win big games. And the first one is the Steelers, I think. Pickett, who is coming on. But and if your defense isn't hot, he'll take them apart.
Well, the question is how long Lamar's going to be out and the extent of this injury and what it means to them over 2, 3, 4 weeks. These next 3 weeks,
critical.
Maybe they hang in Pittsburgh. Maybe they hang in Cleveland. Certainly Atlanta looks to be not so good. Now they're going to play that Cleveland game on Saturday. So the Cleveland game is going to be the short rest, right? So getting Lamar back a day earlier, I don't know if a day matters one way or another. But these next two games where the Hatfields and the McCoys and the division itself and these rivalry games – this just doesn't feel like good mojo to me right now.
No, it's not pretty. and they're going to have to figure it out and work through it. You're right. It's going to be a tough sled. They're going to have to pull it. And so we'll see what they're made of. I think that's the big thing. And there's talk in the streets that Greg Roman is being talked to by Stanford.
That's correct. Yeah. I mean, that's been confirmed by John.
Right. So if he goes, if they offer and he goes, you can't get there soon enough to start recruiting.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know that that's the way John would see it in regard to play calling. Although calling a play for the wide receiver to throw the football when you're in field goal position. I mean,
you know,
Harbaugh addressed it at length on Monday. Once he calmed down after the game, he looked a little morose on Monday, given Lamar's circumstances and whatever the prognosis is for him, which is he ain't playing in Pittsburgh this week,
right,
from what we could tell.
Right. Exactly.
The notion that Greg Roman would call that play, and you know how the chain of command goes. I mean, I cannot imagine that play is installed in that circumstance without John Harbaugh knowing about it. That John Harbaugh didn't say, this is a good time to run that, or no, timeout, we're not running that play. We got to get 3 points here. But John never thinks about 3 points. John's always thinking seven.
Seven. And you know, that play didn't look right from the start. Right at the snap, the way the first handoff happened didn't look right. And then the second one, I'm thinking, cool, Prochet's coming around the end. They're gonna do an end around. He had room. Did you see how much field he had in front of him? The dude had room to run. You know why? Because seven guys were in the end zone covering one receiver. Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, Harbaugh said he probably should have ran with the ball.
He had so much room. And then after that, right after he threw it, and they picked it, I said to the people that we sit with and sit around us, I said, is he our third-string quarterback? Because Huntley's a runner. And what if Huntley would have gone down? Who's next up? Is Prochet the next man up?
Sam Cook used to be the guy.
Sam is not here. Now, I'll tell you what. The one thing I'll say, other than the misery of the game, which it was miserable, except we got the W. So I guess I'll take miserable in a win versus Jacksonville and looking okay and losing. You know, that's okay. But the halftime was really good, really strong. I had not seen Marshall Yonda in quite a while. That man is half the man he used to be. My God, the man was almost unrecognizable. The amount of weight that was off his shell. And just great words, really, really smooth, really caring. And boy, he sounded like he wanted to be out there playing. He was fired up for Baltimore, fired up for football. I don't know what he's doing these days, but that man wants to coach. He was rah-rah rolling, baby. He was ready to coach up the line.
He lost all the weight before the plague, right? So he retired after the 19th season.
Yes.
They brought everybody back, and we were all like, for him to retire, we were like, what happened to Mark? He lost all that weight like instantly, first 100 days at the end of his career.
It's amazing. The man looks – he looked. It was all dressed up in a suit. He had his kids, his wife there. He's looking sharp, and he was talking some smack. The dude was ready. I'm telling you, he sounded ready to coach an offensive. He sounded ready to coach Ray Lewis. That dude was ready to bang through a wall for the Ravens yesterday.
You've been sponsoring me a number of years, but he came out and did the show with me. I want to say it was in 16 or 17.
Yeah.
It was after Jen survived. We swapped for the bone marrow registry. We did it up in Carroll County at Greenmount Station, where you can now legally place sports wagers on games if you wish. And get a great crab cake as well. It's good ribs, too, with Chris up there at Greenmount. So I ran the interview with him on Monday here at AM 1570, and again on Tuesday morning this week. And I put it up because it's been 6-7 years, right? I've known
That's
Marshall
amazing.
From the beginning.
Yeah.
I had
yeah.
video of his mother the first time he ever got in a game. We kicked off the season in Cincinnati. It was a night game back in 2006 when he was drafted. I was sitting in the stands in the upper deck. His mother was sitting near me, and her boy was going into an NFL game for the first time. And I videoed her.
Fantastic.
She's in Iowa. They're an Iowa farm family.
Iowa,
what they
right.
Are, right?
He's a farmer.
He's a farmer
right.
from Iowa. So that's how far back I have this picture of Marshall and I. We both look young, you know, in it in 2006. So Marshall came out and did the show. And all I remember about that night, and I haven't listened to the interview, even though we ran it on Monday, was I remember sitting with him And he was always one that didn't like the media so much, whatever. He got along fine with me, but he didn't do a lot of things. It's one of the reasons you've never heard him speak all that much.
That's
he
right.
Didn't speak.
That's right.
He wasn't rude to the media. He just was very perfect. He didn't seek the spotlight. He's
Did
an
his
Iowa
thing.
guy, right?
Did his
So
thing.
he said to us that night, he kind of confided, and we got a really loose version of Marshall that night. You know, I got a lot out of him, which I think is my gift as an interviewer. And I remember him saying, I hate lazy. I hate lazy.
Oh,
I hate everything. I hate nothing I can't stand more than lazy. And I'm thinking, no wonder you and I get along. That's a story of like,
there you go.
No one hates lazy more than me. You know what
that's
I mean?
It.
So I found that's the heart of Marshall Yanda. That's what made
Absolutely.
him a Hall of Famer, quite
If
frankly.
you didn't hear his, I agree. If you didn't hear his interview from Sunday, or not his interview, his halftime talk from Sunday, get it. It's got to be on YouTube. It had to be recorded. Just, it was 5 minutes, 2 minutes, but it was strong. The dude was strong.
It was a pre-Hall of Fame speech is what you're saying, right?
And he's got that Bill Cowher chin. He's chiseled now. His face, he's got that chin going. He's got that Cowher chin. He, man.
You ready to bring him back and have him be our Jeff Saturday when you fire Harbaugh? Is that what you're ready to do? Let him rest. Well, he's here.
There's
he
a man who's
money.
Not finding head coaching as easy as he thought it might be, huh?
Raskin Global is the way to find Leonard. He manages money as well as, and I'll give you a little, you know, you've had a nice year. You've traveled a lot. You've taken care of your money, your wealth. This is a time where your wife's healthy, your son's healthy, he's in college, you ran around
All
Europe
good.
all summer. You're doing a little bit of beachy time here. But, like, as you go away and you have hundreds of clients, most important thing people need to be thinking about at the end of the year, because I ask you this every week, and I'm thinking not everybody listens to everything every week.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
pretty much the same. End of year and handling your money is important.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. There are a couple things. If you're going to do any charity, do it. Give to charities or get prepared to give to charity. If you're a business owner, you want to make sure that your income and expenses are scheduled in the right year. You may want to stop billing people to stop getting in revenue before year end and have to pay taxes on it. Delay that till next year. Or if you're not having a great year, you might want to pull some income into this year and bring more in that might be at a lower tax bracket. So you got to do your year end planning. And this is the time, beginning of December. You don't want to wait till the 27th to go, oh, we need to do. No, right around now, the beginning of the month, you take a look, you get with your advisors, you get with your team of people, and you make sure you're doing the right thing. If you're not a business owner, make sure if you wanted to put money in the 401k that you got in there what you wanted to get in there. If you work at a company and you're looking for a Christmas bonus, a holiday bonus, and you're not sure whether or not they're going to contribute to your 401k out of your bonus, if you want it contributed, make sure it comes out. If you don't want it contributed, make sure it's turned off. These are just year-end kind of things you need to touch on, check on. And most importantly, I would say get yourself organized, get ready for 23. It's coming fast. I was with a pal at the game Sunday. So as you said, had a colleague in from out of town. And interesting, quick aside, he said something I resonated when he said it. He said, as you get older, I hadn't heard this saying before, but it was, I've heard like it, but he said.
You wrote it down is what you're telling me. This
no, I didn't write it down, but it's in here. He said somebody told him once that as you get older, life is like a roll of toilet paper. And it just goes faster and faster and faster as you get older.
I'm not going to write that one down.
I don't
think you want that one on the mantle.
It's kind of a profound thing. So fact is, you got to think about it. You know, as I get older,
there's less toilet paper on the roll, and you have to look
point.
For another roll, right?
But it pulls faster. It pulls faster. So his point was, as you get older, the years seem to go by a lot faster. So you got to get ready for 23, because before you know it, it's 24. And it just goes fast. And he was a big Buckeye fan, and we were both kind of pretty happy that playoffs were coming for the Suns Buckeye, and get to go to watch a little playoff football, and the Buckeye ladies are in the Sweet 16, I think it is, of the volleyball national tournament. So that's kind of cool. The boy's been playing the band everywhere. And he's got another 5 days of school and then finals. And then, like you said, man, it was like he was a rising freshman. And now he's finishing up his junior almost year. It's crazy. But, get yourself organized for 23. It comes at you fast. Be ready. Make sure you're doing what you need to be doing.
All right, Leonard's doing what he needs to be doing, enjoying himself here this week, getting ready for the holidays. You can reach him at RaskinGlobal.com. It's the end of my year. Leonard has, during the course of this year, we've gotten entangled with each other. He's been trying to help me out of all sorts of little... I'm not a mess, but I'm an entanglement. I'm an entanglement, but I'm not a mess. So I'll at least say that much. You can find him at Raskin Global. And, of course, on the front of BaltimorePositive.com. Last thing for you, all right? You know, yes, I talk crab cakes. We're going to be down at Fadley's talking about shipping crab cakes. We're going to be at Costas next week shipping crab cakes. You know, and I know you're a guy who's a generous guy. You got a lot of people out of town. You were over. You said to me last week, I'm going to go get some crabs. I'm going to go to down to Costas after the game. How were the crabs? That's the most
important. Dude, it's amazing. We're in December. We're in December.
Your parents told you couldn't get crabs in December, right?
Yeah, back I don't know who lied about that. Right. Yeah, it's December. I hit you up. I said, hey, where would you go out to eat? Because we bring crabs in the house all year round. We bring them home all the time. But we wanted to take this guy out for a Baltimore crab experience. He'd never had steamed crabs.
Oh, so, it was a never have had them guy.
He got in Saturday evening. We went to Pappas for crab cakes. Saturday night, he had a crab cake. He said it was phenomenal. He'd never had anything like it in his life. So I said to him, Sunday, we're going to tailgate. We're going to go to the football game. And then we're going out to figure out how they pull the meat to put in those crab cakes. So you said, go to Costas, man. Go to Costas. They'll take care of you. So we went out to Costas, and it was fantastic. We got a little crab soup. We got a little appetizer, because I always feel like when you're a first timer, when you're that crab picking virgin, you need some side food while you're picking, because you're not really going to get all the crab out and you don't know how to do this. You might not be happy doing it. This guy said, look, I've been to crawfish boils. I've been to lobster bakes. I've eaten oysters like they're going out of style. He said, you just put it in front of me and teach me how to do it. This is a guy that went to the Air Force Academy. And you'll appreciate this. I'll tell you this little quick story. He informed me and the wife that he was first team all. I don't know if it was PAC. Where's the Air Force Academy? The WAC, the PAC, whatever.
They were WAC for a while. Yes.
Yeah. So he was first team all conference wide receiver ahead of Steve Smith Sr.
Oh, Utah was in that conference, of course. Absolutely.
Yes. Yes. He said they were friends. They hung out. He went to the academy. Steve Smith went to the Panthers, and he went to fly jets.
There you go. He said, with you eventually.
And he learned last weekend, he learned how to crack crabs. He learned how to pull those things apart, dig into that meat, and he was in heaven. The dude was in heaven. So we ate crabs, drank some beer, and then I said, this is me. I don't know how everybody else does it, but for me, when you finish up your crab feast, you need to have vanilla ice cream. That's how you finish
the
crab feast.
Not the only one that's ever said that to me.
That's how you finish it right. So
I've had a lot of people in Baltimore tell me they finish crabs with ice cream.
We got vanilla hot fudge sundaes with the wet nuts and the whipped cream, and we ate like we were going to the chair. and the food was fantastic. The bill was just right, my friend. Everything was fantastic. We have a few crabs left over, which the wife and I chose to imbibe following, and it's all good. It's all good.
Well, you know, every time we get the whole thing started with that video with 3.5 million views on how to pick a crab the right way. It all started with Moeller and I down at Fadley's one day when this young lady was in from Minnesota and she had never seen a crab and didn't really even know where to begin. And I keep thinking to myself, the intimidation factor of like when you see that crustacean.
Pile
just sitting there and you're like, what do I do with it?
And it's
how do I extract
paper.
Food out of it? You know,
it's a pile on paper. You go, what? And so he cracked the first one. He opens it up and he goes, all right, can I eat this? I said, no, wait. You don't eat that stuff on the outside there. You don't eat that stuff. That's not good.
It's like that Bob Seger song, Against the Wind. What to leave in, what to leave out. You don't know what to eat when you're there.
But
Leonard, I appreciate you,
man. We had a ball.
I hope you have a great week, and I hope this Pittsburgh week here thing goes better than we think it's going to go. I will see you on the other side of your vacay before Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year's.
Absolutely.
The Peach Bowl. We got all tax situations. We got all that stuff happening.
A flexed Cleveland Browns game.
Saturday afternoon Cleveland Browns game,
right,
4:30
right.
game, and then Christmas Eve against the Atlanta Falcons. So have at it. You can find Leonard at RaskinGlobal.com to get all sorts of wisdom, ideas about money and protecting yourself and insurance and doing the right thing, keeping your money away from the government. But that's at RaskinGlobal.com. Please do that. You can also check out Leonard at the front of BaltimorePositive.com. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Friday at Fadley. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery with Goodwill and Window Nation. We're getting back after the rock and roll thing next Thursday for my 31st anniversary. 31 years on radio.
There you go.
Next week. It's crazy. Next Tuesday. I have to go find Kenny Albert as well. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.